to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Studying yesterday, and the Lord puts a thought on my heart. And I sort of wanted something to sort of start us off with. So I called Zach and I asked Zach to get on the computer and find me the seven wonders of the world. And he called me back in a little while and he said, "Papa, it's a little more complicated than that now." He said, there is a list of the seven wonders of the ancient world and seven wonders of the modern world and seven wonders of the American Society of Civil Engineering and seven wonders of the natural world and seven wonders of the heavens. And I thought I'd add a few more. There's we could call the seven wonders of creation. One happened each day for 7 days. Maybe the seven wonders of the Old Testament. We could start with the flood and the Jewish nation and the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness without clothes wearing out. And probably Solomon's temple. We could get seven in a hurry. Or we might even go to the New Testament and get seven wonders out of the New Testament. But I want to preach for just a little while tonight on the seven wonders of Jesus. The Lord Jesus. If you would stand with me and I'll read my scripture. Chapter number one. The Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. If you're confused about that, that's Jesus. That's who that is. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. I don't know about you, but I'm just about already full. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. My Father, in Jesus' holy and precious name, Lord, I love you, and I thank you, God, for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given me to be here tonight. Now, Father, I pray that, God, you would, Lord, just touch us as we try to deliver a message that, God, you've put on our heart. And, Lord, give you all the praise and glory and honor for everything it's done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I intended to read those seven wonders of the ancient world, but I don't think I will. But I want to preach on the seven wonders of Jesus. So I guess that means I got 7 points. Amen. And anyway, let's just go ahead without any more introduction. Let's just mention, first of all, I want to mention the wonder of his birth. This is right around the Christmas time. We're We are all preparing now for the celebration of Christmas. And the Bible tells us that there's some special things about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said here in verse number 1, said, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who has no beginning and no ending, amen. Now, I know he lived here on earth for 33 and a half years, and there's something special about his birth. His birth, the wonder of his birth, it's different than any other birth. There's never been a birth like this birth, amen. There's been some miraculous births that took place according to the Word of God, but never one like this birth. This birth is special. Bible tells us that God up in heaven looked down at the appointed time and sent an angel down to planet Earth to a little virgin girl, Jewish virgin girl. And if you look in the commentaries, that most of them will take the little word virgin and say that means young girl. And the Lord knew that they would do that, and so he added another phrase and said that she had never known a man. You know, he was a little particular about who delivered the word, wasn't he? He's the Word. Jesus is the Word. He was a little particular about who delivered the word. Amen. I believe he's still particular about who delivers the word, aren't you? I believe he has some thoughts about who can handle the word and who can deliver the word. Amen. So the Bible said the angel, I guess it's Gabriel, came down and spoke to Mary. Matter of fact, Gabriel had just made a trip 6 months before that and spoke to a lady by the name of Elizabeth. Matter of fact, he didn't speak to Elizabeth. He spoke to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. He was a priest, and while he was in the temple serving his time, burning incense unto the Lord, while he was in there, and the Bible said there was many outside, and they were praying, and the angel Gabriel appeared in the temple unto Zechariah and said, "The Lord's heard your prayer, and Elizabeth is going to conceive, and you're going to have a son. And you call his name John." Zechariah said, "And what sign shall I know?" The angel looked at him and said, because you doubted the word that I spoke unto you, you're going to be dumb until John is born. Amen. You be real careful about asking for a sign. Your sign may not be too pleasant when God gives it to you. And so for 9 months, now this is not a birth like the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a miraculous birth. She was beyond the age, and he was beyond the age. But God moved in and did something special, and she had been without child all their married life. And so this is a miraculous birth, but it's not like the birth of Jesus. No. Matter of fact, times before, God sent another angel and carried a message. Carried a message to Abraham and said, "Sarah is going to conceive and bear a son." And Sarah being past 90 years old and Abraham 100 years old, and she laughed. Might be real careful about life and about the message of God, amen. Matter of fact, she was called out and said, "Sarah, why did you laugh?" And she tried to get out of it. It didn't laugh, but she laughed. But the Bible said God God moved on Abraham and Sarah. And I like this. He said, he returned unto them the time of life. One of these days, when the trump of God sounds and we get a glorified body, he's going to return unto us, amen, the time of life. We won't have, Brother Tom, won't have that pretty gray hair anymore, amen? Amen. Them old wrinkles are going to be gone. Amen. We're going to be like him, amen? Amen. But the Bible said that God moved on Abraham and Sarah, and she conceived and bore the promised seed, amen? That is a miraculous birth, but it wasn't like this birth. This birth, the Bible said, an angel came and spoke unto Mary. Said, Hail Mary, thou that art highly favored. Oh, God's looked upon you. Amen. God's approved of the life that you live in. God's approved of you, and he's got something for you. He said, You're going to have a child. She said, How can I have a child? And I know not a man. And he said, The Holy Ghost is going to move upon you. And you'll conceive the Holy Child Jesus. I've often thought about Mary and what kind of a young lady she was, because she is espoused to Joseph, or what we'd call engaged to Joseph. And all of a sudden, she's fixing to come up pregnant. You know, it went through her mind. What did Joseph do? I know it went through her mind, everybody in town. You know, she finally came to the place where all of us need to come to. She said, Don't matter what anybody thinks. Be it unto me according to your plan. And God, the Holy Ghost, moved on her, amen. And the birth of Jesus was like no other birth that ever has been. I said all of that just to say this. Men said that's impossible for a virgin to conceive and bear a son. Bible said with God all things are possible. And God can do what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. And beloved, it'll be right every time, amen. Amen. So there is the wonder of the virgin birth. Praise the Lord. Seven wonders of Jesus. Second wonder of Jesus is the life that he lived. Not a whole lot said about Jesus in those early years. The Bible said that he was born. And the Bible said that wise men came. Some say he was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years old or close to it when the wise men came. Herod had already issued a decree to kill all the little baby boys, Jewish baby boys, 3 years of age and under, get rid of this king, get rid of this Messiah. The Bible said Joseph and Mary took him down to Egypt until Herod died, and then they came back. Not much more said about him except when he was 12 years old that Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to the Passover, and he went into the temple and they left and he stayed, and they came back 3 days later and found him in the temple discussing religious things with the doctors and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were amazed that this little boy knew as much about God as he did. Of course, they didn't know he's just talking about his father. Amen. Just talking about his father. Not a whole lot is said about his life until he comes to Jordan and is baptized by John in the River Jordan. But there's one thing about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. May not be spelled out in there year by year, but the life that Jesus lived was a total, perfect, sinless life. There's never one sin ever committed in his life from the time he came to planet Earth until the time God took him from planet Earth. There was never a sin. There was no guile in his mouth. There was never a wretched thought that entered into his mind. He never had to go and say, God, I get that mess out of my mind. I cleanse me of that. It was never there. He was the perfect Son of God. He was God incarnate in flesh. He's man's perfect God and God's perfect man. Amen. 33 and a half years, and never a slip and never a bobble. Never a sin. Don't you ever, young people, let anybody tell you that Jesus could have sinned. He's God, perfect and holy. Amen. What a wonder that he could live 33 and a half years and never sin. Nobody else ever done that. Matter of fact, he said, there's none good, no, not one. Save Jesus. He's the only one. Wonder of his life. Then thirdly, let's look at the wonder of his death. Nobody ever died like Jesus. There's a lot of death. A lot of folks was crucified. A lot of folks have died of many different things, but nobody ever died like Jesus. I want to just say to you, he did not die because they took him in Caiaphas' office and buffeted his face until no doubt his face was swollen and bruised, and then they plucked out his beard. He didn't die from that. They took him to Pilate's hall, and then after that, they took him and the Roman soldiers scourged him with a horrible cat of nine or whatever he used. 39 lashes, save one, literally ripped his back into shreds until chunks of his back, no doubt, fell out on the ground. Blood streaked his body, but he didn't die of that. They put an old wooden cross on his shoulders and made him carry it up Golgotha's hill. But he didn't die of that. And history says I've had a great number, some 60-some percent of human beings, men that are sentenced to the 39 lashes, never lived to be untied from the place where the pain was so excruciating until many men's heart just stopped and they died while the pain was on. But he didn't die there. They said another 15% died before they ever reached the crest of Golgotha's hill carrying the cross. But he didn't die there. They laid him on that old rugged cross. They nailed his hands and his feet. Did you know that's not the normal procedure of crucifixion? The normal procedure of crucifixion, there's a step down on the bottom of that cross, down about the foot, and his feet were set on that, and normally they tied their legs and their feet to that cross, and they tied their arms to the cross beast. They tied them in several places on that. But when they crucified Jesus, they nailed him because the old prophet back yonder in the book of Psalms wrote that they would nail him to the cross. And so they left the normal procedure of tying them and nailed him to the cross. They nailed through his hands and through his feet. But he didn't die of that. They took that old cross and lifted it up piece by or step by step, foot by step, until it plunged into that hole and swung his body out on those nails until the psalmist said, he cried, my bones are out of joint. They stare at one another. But he didn't die of that. He hung there in the eastern sun for 3 hours as it beat down upon him. And then the wind blew and the sun refused to shine for 3 more hours. And he prayed and he cried to the Father all through that time. But he didn't die of that. Bible said he looked up to his Father and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he dismissed his spirit and bowed his head, went home. Nobody ever died like Jesus died. Wonder of his death. Then I want to say, fourthly, the wonder of his resurrection. They took him down from that old cross. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged his body. They said, he's dead. And he gave them leave to take the body of Jesus down from the old cross. They took him and put him in Nicodemus's tomb or Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. A new tomb. Nobody had ever laid in it. They took him and put him in that tomb. They wrapped his body. They put the embalming salts or whatever it is they put on him, the perfume, and to keep him, the smell down, and they buried him. And the Sadducees and Pharisees went to Pilate and said, we want it sealed. We want that tomb sealed out where nobody can get in, because if the disciples come and get him and take him out and try to tell us he rose from the dead, it'll be worse than it was before we crucified him. And Pilate said, make it as fast as you can. And I don't know what they did. They rolled a stone over it. And I don't know what they had. Cement or what they had, but they had something. They sealed it and then implanted the Roman seal into that. And they set guards there, Roman guards there to watch over it so nobody would steal his body. But on the third, an appointed morning, they put his body in that tomb, but they didn't put his spirit in there. Bible said his spirit, the Holy Spirit, slipped out and went down into paradise, down the heart of the earth. Didn't go to hell. He went over in the paradise side. Amen. Walked in among all the Old Testament saints, all of those old prophets. Isaiah was in there. Isaiah said when he is alive, he said, one of these days a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son 700 years before it ever happened. Amen. And I believe Jesus looked at him and said, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Amen. Amen. All of those old prophets that prophesied a Messiah from Genesis chapter number 3, verse 15. Every one of them said, one day a Messiah is coming. I believe he walked into the paradise side. Matter of fact, Brother Barney, I don't think he had to tell nobody who he was or what he was doing. I think the minute they saw him, I believe when I enter heaven, ain't nobody going to have to tell me that's Jesus over there. Hey, man, I'm going to know who he is when I see him. I don't think I'll even have to see the nail prints in his hands. I'll know him. Nobody like him. I believe he just told him, it is finished. Amen. And he just got up out of the grave. No, they didn't have to roll a stone away so he could get out. The angels rolled a stone away so the men could look in, not so he could get out. Wonder of his resurrection. You know, that's not the only resurrection. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Sure did. Lazarus died. I mean, they buried him. They put him in a tomb. He'd been there 4 days. Jesus said, where have you laid him? They took him where Jesus said, roll a stone away. And they said, he stinketh by now. He said, roll a stone away. And they rolled a stone away. Bible said that he looked up and talked to his father in heaven and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came up. Hey, that his one and only resurrection. But Lazarus died again. Jesus going into the city of Nain, met a funeral procession. He never preached a funeral while he was here. Every time he got around those that is dead, they got up. Amen. Amen. He stopped the funeral procession. Walked over to the bier that carried the little boy on, the young man on. Took him by the hand and said, get up. And he got up and took him and gave him to his mama. Amen. Amen. And he died again. That little 12-year-old girl, they told Jesus, they said, my daughter's sick unto death. Would you come? And he said, I'll come. He got almost there and they came running out and they said, don't bother the master anymore. She's already dead. And he said, don't worry about it. He took the mother and the father and three of his disciples and went on the inside and said to her, damsel arise, darling, get up. Amen. Hallelujah. And she got up, but she died again. He got up. On the third appointed morning, he got up. Death will never pass his way again. The grave, he'll never see another grave. No. Matter of fact, he's going to get us up out of the graves. Hallelujah. Wonder of his resurrection. You know what the Bible said about his resurrection? It said he's the first fruit. Oh my. He's the first fruit. And when he got up, he brought a wave offering with him. There's some of them come up out of the grave with him, and he waved them before the Father and said, this is hallelujah. But there's coming a day, amen, when the harvest is going to be, the rest of us, amen, coming up out of the graves, and we which are alive and remain are going to be changed, and the harvest is going home. The bride, amen. Wonder of his resurrection. Number five, the wonder of his ascension. A little over 50 years ago, John Kennedy signed some papers that said we're going to send a man to the moon. And they finally sent him. He rode that rocket ship up into the very heavens, looked like, landed on the moon, and he walked on the moon. About 2,000 years ago, he took his disciples up on a hill. Gravity just lost its hold, amen. He didn't need a rocket ship, amen. Gravity just turned loose and he just began to rise up into the clouds. And they stood and gazed, and two men in white apparel stood by. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go away is coming again in like manner, amen. And he didn't just rise up a little ways. He just went on to the right hand of the throne of God on high. And he's been seated there ever since. Oh my. But it ain't over yet. He'll be back. He'll be back. He's coming back to get us. Hadn't forgot us. He's coming back to get us. Number six, the wonder of his present work. Oh my. The wonder of what his present work. Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He called 12 men, and one of them was a devil, but he replaced him. And he's been calling men ever since. Tell the good news. Good news from a far country. Bible said, good news from a far country is like a cold drink of water. Oh my. Oh my, what's he doing now? The miracle, the marvel of what he's doing right now. Folk, if you don't know it, the Holy Spirit of God is just moving in this church. I don't know about you, but he's stirring my soul. And I promise you, if there's a lost sinner in here, he's feeling something he ain't never felt before in his life. He's feeling that Holy Spirit of God tugging at his heart, saying, I love you. I died on the cross of Calvary because I love you. I don't want you to burn in hell. I want you to come and trust me and believe on me and be saved. I want you to be a part of the bride. Oh, I'm amazed at the marvel of his work right now. Brother Barney, I love you. Could you imagine that me and you get to be a part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That he reached way down in the gutters of sin, and one by one he lifted us up out of the miry clay and washed our sins away, wrote our name in the Lamb. Hey, you talk about a wonder that God would love us and make a way that we could be saved. What a wonder. What a wonder. What a wonder. Oh, that he had saved me. That he had saved you. Mama, let me give you the seventh wonder. He's coming back. He's coming back. He'll be back in a little while. I don't know when he's coming. Zach, I don't know whether I'll still be alive. And I don't know whether you'll still be alive. I don't know when he's coming. But it won't matter. It won't matter where you're at. It won't matter how long your body lies in that grave. It don't matter. Because all of those who are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, when he comes back, I believe when he comes out and speaks from the air, he's going to call us by name. He's going to call us by name. There ain't nobody else could do that. If there's anybody else, Brother Tommy, they'd have to have a list 4 mile long and take them a week to read it off. But he's going to call every one of our names at exactly the same instant. And in the twinkling of an eye, we're going up to meet him. He's coming back. He's coming back. What a wonder. What a wonder. You know why he's coming back? I thought of that. I thought of that unnamed servant. Was it you that talked about him this morning? that went to get a bride for Isaac? And Isaac went and talked to her and said, "Will you go?" And she said, "I'll go." You know, when a Jewish girl is engaged to be married to a Jewish boy, at least in Old Testament times, that boy had to go to the parents of that girl and make a deal. I mean, he may have come in and had somebody like Katie and said, "I'll give you 5 goats for her." But they had to strike a deal. And when the deal is made, the bride had to go home and get a place ready for him to live in. He didn't give 5 goats for me. He gave his whole life for me. And he went to prepare a place for us to dwell. Do you know the only time that Jewish boy could go back and get his bride? When the father come in and inspected the house. I don't know about you, but I'm having a time. Amen. I believe the father's been looking over the house. I believe she's about ready, Brother Tommy. You know, the only thing that's holding Jesus back from coming and getting us is one word: go get her. Amen. Go get her. Amen. And he'll be back after us. Amen. And we're going home. We're going home. The wonder that he's coming back after us. He hadn't forgot us. He has not left us alone. He hadn't forgot about us. He's thinking about us every day. He's praying for us every day. Every single day. Until he comes and gets us. Amen. 7 wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please? My Father, in Jesus' holy and precious name, Lord, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for your presence today in the services. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance of my salvation. And Father, to know in my heart, God, that you still love me. And in a little while, you'll be back for me. Father, I pray that, God, during this Christmas season, that, Lord, it'll not just be gifts and Christmas trees, but we'll worship him who came as a babe in a manger and went to the cross of Calvary to set us free. Father, I love you and I thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, Zach?
Us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at wgcrpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.